Good evening. It's good to be here with y'all tonight. It's always a privilege to be able to come and just open the Word with y'all and just to share what He's put on my heart. So tonight, I wanted to share a little story before I open up. So about a year ago, Jen and I were going through something. I was playing golf one day by myself, and I remember getting a phone call from Jen, and she was really upset, saying that she might lose her job. And she was upset, and then I was upset. And so I remember while I was just walking the course by myself, I texted Mark and Ronnie and said, "Hey, pray for us. This is really upsetting." And I was just sitting there. And Ronnie sent a text back, and he sent a verse to me. And it was Philippians 4:6. And it's, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And I remember just walking the golf course, and I was terrible that day anyway, so it didn't matter, so I was thinking about this, that be anxious for nothing. And I remember thinking, I don't want to be anxious, so how do I not be anxious? And I literally just had a conversation with the Lord about that. And then the following days and weeks and actually a couple months, he showed me some things of how to take His word and apply it practically to my life. And that's what I want to share with y'all tonight, something that over this last year I've really had a lot of opportunities to apply it, and I've really seen it work in my own life. So I just wanted to share that with y'all tonight about four practical steps we can take to battle anxiety. But first, let's talk about what anxiety is. I looked it up, and the definition of anxiety is: anxiety is defined as a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Other words for anxiety are apprehension, fear, disquiet, agitation, and stress. So I want to be clear, when I talk about fear or anxiety, I'm not talking about that initial something's happening and you respond. Like, I think that's just a natural response, like, you know, fear hits you. But then I think what the Lord is talking about when He says don't be anxious is that we decide, there comes a point where we decide, do we continue in this fear or do we go a different direction? So that's what I'm talking about tonight. Also, I was talking to Mark about this. I want to be sensitive about it. Good and bad news. Bad news is anxiety and worry, it is a sin. Jesus says, don't be anxious. He said it 3 times in Matthew chapter 6, do not be anxious, do not be anxious. And I think sometimes we kind of forget that it's not something He wants us to do. But the good news is that if it is a sin, then He's given us the power to be victorious in that, through the power of His Spirit. So knowing that, let's look at these four things that the Lord has shown me practically to combat anxiety. And the first one is to put our mind on eternal things. And as I was thinking about that, Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, 2, he says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And I think, for me, that's the big one. That's the one that really always caught me. I remember I would watch my record of how I would start thinking about something, and I would play the what-if game. So what happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? So many unknowns, so many uncertainties that I could actually physically feel my heart rate go up. I was going to have a stroke sometimes just keep doing that. But you can feel it. And what I realize is what I'm doing is that I'm setting my eyes on the problem. I'm setting my eyes on the world and not on the things of eternity. And as I started thinking about that, we need to put our minds on the absolutes, the things that we do know. What are the things we do know? We know through the word the character of God. That's unchanging. That's an absolute. We need to rest on those things. The efficiency of the cross. The work that was accomplished on the cross is amazing. And we're going to spend eternity just dwelling on that alone. But these are the absolutes that we can rest in. So when we find our mind just going down those paths that take us to, what is the doctor going to say? What happens if I can't pay my bills next week? There are no answers. Sometimes there are no answers to that. And I think the Lord deliberately doesn't give us those answers because He wants us to rest not on those answers but on who He is. So I think that's the big one, the battle of the mind. So put our minds on eternal things. The second one I wrote down, share the burden of weight. In Galatians 6:2, Paul says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's a big one, too. I think as I was dealing with things and struggling with things, I saw myself try to deal with it myself. I would just kind of like close in, and I wouldn't talk to people about it. I wouldn't share anything about it. And I think that actually goes against what the Lord wants us to do. He says here, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we need to talk about these things with people. He wants us to share our fears, our concerns, our worries with others. I thought about life groups. Like what an awesome opportunity, those small group prayers, to just really pour ourselves out and to say, look, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm struggling with. Not just world things, but also spiritual things. I mean, be honest. I think that's an awesome opportunity to do that. And when we do that, we're allowing others to fulfill the law of Christ. I can't bear your burden if you don't share it with me, and you can't bear mine if I don't share it with you. We're in a family, and then we all expect each other just to deal with our own thing. I don't think that's the way we're supposed to do it. So, but not just sharing it with each other, but share it with the Lord. Some of my favorite prayers in the Bible are the most honest ones, and one that comes to mind is when the father, I think it was Jairus, he says, Jesus tells him, do not fear, just believe. And he says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I love that prayer. I love that prayer because it's so honest. He recognized where he was at. I believe, but Lord, I don't. And I think sometimes the Lord wants us to be honest with him. He knows our heart. We're not fooling him. So I think that's huge to be able to just like come in tonight and just hearing y'all's prayers and praying quietly. Just you can feel it just wash off of you, that anxiety, that weight. The Lord wants to carry our burdens, and sometimes I think we don't let him because we just think we're too good. We got it ourselves. But I think it's so important to just share that burden, share what's going on, and to help to just get rid of that weight. Let other people help you with it. So number three, I wrote this one down. This one's a little tricky. It kind of caused me a lot of trouble. It's like I wrote down, get outside of your problems. I said one thing I noticed when I would be dealing with things is that I try to spend time with young men. I try to purposely go have breakfast with guys or do something together. And I noticed that when I was dealing with stuff with Jennifer, I stopped doing that. I didn't have time for it. I got consumed in my own problem that I stopped. And I think that's the exact opposite reaction we need to have. I wrote down, the insidious trait of anxiety is that it twists our focus inwardly. It draws us in and makes us think about what's going to happen to me. What am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? I. And I think that's so opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. And as I was thinking about verses how would that apply? And the Lord gave me he said, I want you to use this example. And I thought about, what better example can we have of this than our Savior that on the cross, bearing our sin, everything he took on that, what did he do? He, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He interceded for the very people that are crucifying him. He comforted the thief who said, you're going to be with me today. And he actually met a practical need with mother, behold your son. I mean, if anyone had an excuse to say, I'm a little busy right now, I got my own thing going on, I think Jesus had it. And what did he do? He didn't. He didn't use that as an excuse. He ministered to the minute he died. And that is just, I think that needs to be our example, that we don't get it. We don't get an excuse. We don't get a hall pass to say, well, I've got my own thing. I can't minister. I can't serve. And I see, and when I started realizing that, it takes our focus off the things that are weighing us down, and it actually makes you like, it's still going on, but you're not even aware of it. So I think that's a really neat point, and it really helped me out a lot there. And the fourth one, it's not so much a practical thing, but just the thought of just be encouraged. Recognize that when you're going through your struggles, the Lord's doing something. You know, I remember, I think it was one of our old pastors Jen and I had growing up. He said that when you're a born-again believer, you're in his hand, which means that nothing gets through you that doesn't pass through his hand first. And that's a comforting thought, that he's allowed that into your life for a reason. Remember, he's pruning, not punishing. He's crafting, not condemning. I wrote down a verse, and I thought it was so pretty. Zephaniah 3:17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Isn't that just a beautiful picture of our Heavenly Father? He's holding us like a baby in his arms, singing songs over us. What are we to fear? What are we to be anxious about? So, those are the four thoughts that the Lord gave me. But I want to share this with y'all. And it's just, it's almost like the caveat, the fine print of this. In EMS, they teach us that we're only as good as the point we train. And the idea is that you can know all there is to know. But when you hit a level on a call, they call it, you're in the red. You lose dexterity in your fingers. You lose muscle. You can't think. So they teach you to develop skills that are just based on muscle memory. Get things to the point where you don't even think about it. Don't wait until you're on that worst call, because then it's too late. You won't function, and you're no good. And I thought about that spiritually. Like, if we're waiting for the doctor, that phone call from the doctor or the phone call from the boss to be practicing these things, we're already behind the eight ball. It's too late. These are things that we need to be doing now. Maybe right now you're not in a situation, but I've learned that these are things that I need to practice every day, because when it does happen, that needs to be my default. That needs to be what I fall on, because we've all grown up in this flesh. Our flesh is our default unless we change it. So we need to be practicing these things, even if you're not in a time where you're stressed or you're anxious or you're worried. Be working on these things daily. They were a huge help to me. I hope it was a help to you. I look around this room and I feel like these guys probably already know all this stuff. I don't know why I'm sharing it, but it was a help to me, and I hope it was an encouragement, a blessing. So let's just pray together. Lord, I just want to thank you for this time you've given me just to come and just to open up your word for a few minutes. Lord, I hope I honored you with it. I hope I glorified you, and I hope I encouraged the body. I love these brothers and sisters. I thank you for bringing me and my wife here. Thank you for letting me be a part of this family. Thank you for loving us like you do, Lord. You're so good to us. And we just praise you and thank you for it. Thank you for this sweet time of prayer tonight. And Father, I just pray, just bless each one as they go out. Give them a good rest of the week. Help them at work or at school or wherever they're at. Just be with them and encourage them. Draw them close to you. Help them to enjoy you more fully. And Lord, just ask that you would just help us to serve and glorify you with everything we say and do. And Lord, we just love you. We thank you for your son. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the life we have in him. Help us never to take that for granted. Help us always to keep our eyes on him and what he's accomplished for us and what he's doing for us even now. And Lord, again, we just thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.